So I'm going to ask church that you would pray with me and for me as I preach. Listen carefully, thoughtfully, critically, attentively. I would also like for you to pray with me and for us as I preach. Well, today we begin our faith, hope, and love series. Faith, hope, and love. And usually it's not uncommon in Scripture to see them together. Faith, hope, and love. About 1,700 years ago, a great thinker, Augustine, wrote a book on faith, hope, and love. And many centuries later, in his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis has a section on faith, hope, and love. What he identifies and rightly so as the cardinal virtues of Christian living, the three virtues that should characterize of God's people in every age and in every generation: faith, hope, and love. And we will begin with faith this morning.
Yes, sir.
We will, in the next several weeks, we will go through the entire chapter of the 11th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, which has been called the Hall of Fame of Faith, where we have the heroes and sheroes who accomplished great things. Through faith. And we will culminate with the long distance run of faith, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Then we will deal with texts that deal with hope, and we will end the series with an exposition and several sermons of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter of the New Testament. But we will begin with faith today. Faith is important.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
For the first time, well, for the third time in American history, the President of the United States was impeached. This is the third time that this has happened in the country. The third time, impeached. Nixon was never impeached. He resigned before the inevitable happened. But there were three that were actually impeached. And tried. Donald Trump impeached and tried in the Senate and was acquitted. I am not here to get into the politics of that, but there was something that happened,
yes, sir,
that stood out to me. There was one Republican who stood on a lonely island of dissent. And for the first time in American history, a senator votes against the president of his own party to be removed from office for the obstruction of power. The thing that struck me about this was that Mitt Romney held a press conference which was more comparable to a church service to me, and said that the reason why he made his decision was because of faith. He took an oath for God. And I find it stunning in a culture that has christened the separation of church and state, and yet there is a senator voting to remove the president of his own party from office because of faith. Several years ago, Jamie Dungey committed suicide, took his own life. This released an avalanche of emotions and hurt and pain in the family of Tony Dungey, a devout Christian football coach. Everybody's talking about this. Lovie Smith, his coach of Chicago Bears at the time, good friend of Dungey, said his faith will get him through. He says that Tony is a man of faith, and faith will get him through. And even within, I find it fascinating, even many, some years ago now. But I will never forget when Cardinal Joseph Bernardin was battling the harsh winds of cancer. He goes public with it and lets Chicagoland in particular and the whole world know in general, right? I'm dying of cancer. Losing weight, like terminal, and says, but I'm a man of faith. My faith will help me get through this. I hear there are examples and examples. There was a journalist on television and lost her job. At a whim, oh, we don't need you anymore to get somebody else coming in now. My faith, she says, will get me through. What is faith? What do we mean when we say that? This is a big question because we live in a feeling generation. This generation in particular is a feeling generation. Men and women and boys and girls make massive decisions about how they feel. I feel this way. I feel like this. It feels like the right thing to do. And people are making huge, massive decisions based upon how they feel. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, not by feelings. Just live by faith in Habakkuk. And that principle is stated three times in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith in Romans. The just shall live by faith in Galatians. The just shall live by faith in the 10th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. And so it's critical then that we understand what biblical faith is. Especially when we live in a generation where faith is on the lips of everybody. Seriously. The lips of everybody, we need to understand what faith is. We find some help in our text for today, the 11th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. I have entitled this sermon, Our Faith in Operation. 11th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, this is what the Bible says. Now, faith is the assurance of things hope for. The conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation, that is, their commendation from God. So faith then is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the means that brings the motivating power of the promised future into our present experience. Faith is the means that brings the motivating power of the promised future into our present experience. The things hoped for are the glorious realities, our future inheritance and glory that God has promised to us. They are future. They are coming. But they have not yet arrived. We do not see them. They are not here. We are hoping for them, not in the laudable sense. See that? That's not biblical hope. The lottery. You know, folk, what, you got $200 million in the pot. $200 million in the pot. Yeah, and some of y'all attempted to go out there and buy a lottery ticket. I have to. I thought about it. Thought to myself, man, I could use $200 million right now. I could use $200 million right through it here. And all of these, have you ever seen them? All of these people were in line. Right. How many of these people are in line? Journalists. Okay, why are you here? I'm hoping that I'm going to win. Now, the chance of you winning is virtually nil. I mean, statistically, the chance of you winning the $200 million is, for all practical purposes, non-existent. People are in line. I hope I'm going to win. And if I win, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to college. Some say I'm going to quit my job. I sleep until 10 o'clock at night. All of this stuff here, it's wishful thinking.
Yes, sir.
That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope, hoping the Bible is always sure. Hoping the scripture is always certain. And the things hoped for, the objective, glorified realities that are coming, are to which our hope is oriented. The things that are hoped for. Now, through faith, now this is interesting, through faith, the things that are hoped for, things that are future, the things that God himself has promised to us in Christ become real and substantial for us in the present. We have inner assurance and confidence about their reality. Through faith, they become real for us in the present to the extent that we start living our lives and making our decisions in light of their reality. In other words, the sunlight of the future glory casts its rays into my existential circumstances and motivates how I live. F.F. Bruce, in his commentary on Hebrews, puts it this way. In Old Testament times, there were many men and women who had nothing but the promises of God to rest on. Mm-hmm. That's all they had.
Yes, sir.
The promises of God. Without any visible evidence that these promises would be fulfilled, all they had was a word from God. There was no evidence anywhere that these promises would be fulfilled. Yet so much that these promises mean to them, because it came from God, came from the Lord. Yet so much of these promises mean to them that they, now listen to this, regulated the whole course of their lives in their light. The promises related to a state of affairs belonging to the future. But for these people, these men and these women acted as if that state of affairs were already present. So convinced were they that God could, for starters, God could. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, nothing my God cannot do. God could. And would fulfill what he had promised. God is a promise keeper. God keeps his promises. God doesn't make promises and then break them. The Lord doesn't make commitments and then set you up for the okie doke. That's not how he operates. These were men and women of faith. This means then that the future realities are brought into our lives this morning, February 16th, 2020, through faith. Right now, we don't see anything with the physical eye, but faith is the vehicle through which this reality is brought into the life and experience of the child of God based on the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Unsaved people do have no idea what we're talking about. If you're not a Christian, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have no clue about what I'm talking about. This is an inside matter. This is literally a family experience for the child of God. If you don't know Christ, you need to trust him this morning. Interestingly enough, see this now, faith is, the verb is the first word in the sentence in the Hebrew text. The verb is, underscoring the truth that faith is a present, dynamic, effective, and effective principle for living in the life of a follower of Christ. It's not merely for our grandparents or great-grandparents or people who lived a long time ago. Faith is the assurance of things hopeful. See what it says? You might want to underline this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1a. Faith is the assurance of things hopeful. And some of you here this morning are distressed about your current life circumstances. Yes, you've trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But your life circumstances are hard. Let me ask you a question. What would be different about your current life circumstances if you brought by faith the glorious promised future into those spaces as if they had already arrived. What would happen if your existential now is charged with the hope of glory right now? What would happen? Well, these circumstances may not change, but you will. Your perspective will be different. Your attitude will be different. Because see, sometimes the Lord is more interested, well not sometimes, no, God is more interested in working in us and changing us than he is in adjusting our circumstances. Yes, sir. I wish I had a magic wand and waving in all of the difficulty and all of the sorrow, all of the tears and all of the heartache and all of the stress will go away. Well, that's heaven. That's heaven. That's heaven. Thank God it is coming. But this is earth. And it's fallen and it's broken. And God has got us down here in all of this stuff and all of this mess. Sometimes it's absolutely crazy what's going on. And yet God says, bring the future into it. Bring the future into it. When I was pastoring at Lawndale and hanging around with folk who work in the Christian Community Development Association, why do you think they started health centers? Why do you think we started development corporations? Why do you think we purchased housing to provide affordable housing for people? Why do you think we started intersection Christian ministries? Just to be, no, because we know that this is the direction in which God himself is moving. I mean, the Bible talks about rebuilding the broken walls in the millennial kingdom of Jesus. The Bible talks about during the reign of Christ where boys and girls will be able to play outside in safety. The Bible talks about old men and women sitting in front of their homes and redemptive safety because of the reign of Jesus. In other words, this is the direction in which God is going, and we need to ride that way by bringing that direction into our lives right now. That's why we got to do more than have a church service. We got to do more than have a church service.
Amen.
Right? This is why we care. So this reality actually is going to bring direction to the life of the church. We rarely ever think about it. We rarely ever think about the future, the glory. And it may be one reason why the church is so ineffective, because we have literally forgotten that there is much more to come. This is what faith, this is what faith will do. You know, I tell you, some of us think too much of this world. Our focus is limited to what's happening in my immediate circumstances, and I can't break out of this mold, and our life decisions and our overall attitude is sometimes shaped and often warped by a vision that's limited to earth, time, and sense. The view is too narrow. Confined to the limits of earth, time, and sense, we have to enlarge our view by bringing eternity to bear on our lives today in every aspect of our experience. Act and live your life in view of the promises of God. The promises of God are enough. And sometimes God will allow us to recognize that in life. Mm. Let me say this before we move on. I was on the air a couple of years ago, Roy, with Irwin Lutzer when Billy Graham died, passed. And Lutzer starts talking about Graham's life. And we were just talking, and it was fascinating to me. I need you to think about this. Meets his wife, Wheaton College. Preaches all over the world. Preaches in England. British people are crying. They didn't even cry during World War II, but they cried under the preaching of Billy Graham. The Queen of England is looking at this on television, the current Elizabeth. She asks, think of this. The Queen of England invites Billy Graham to Buckingham Palace for an audience. Because she's interested in the gospel. She wants to know Christ. She invites him to preach on the royal estate at Windsor Chapel. Because then she wants to hear the gospel. Preach to more people than any evangelist in human history. His wife dies later on in life. He comes down with Parkinson's disease. He can't even cross the street. He's standing there and his body is in motion and it's traffic. He said, the only thing that saved his life is that he was able to hold onto a pole. His wife died, confined to a wheelchair. Everybody's mad, questioning the ways of God. Why would God do this? Why would God do that? Why would God allow this to happen to this man who had no scandals in his life? Why? He ends his life by saying one thing. Basically, the promises of God are enough. Jesus is enough. So he's bringing the future promises of God, the Parkinson's disease and the wheelchair and the loss of his wife and the end of ministry. All the crowds are gone. He's alone, often in his house. You see, this is the mistake that so many young people make. Somehow you got it in your head that you're going to be young forever. You got it seriously. You got it in your head that you're going to be young forever. So you throw away your walk with God for sexual activities. You throw away your walk with God for immoral living. Or you throw away your walk with God for the quest to make money. And what we forget is that there is something that's in process, and that's time. It's still moving. And you look up one day and you're old. And in broken despair because of decisions that you made.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, don't drink the punch. It's a lie coming out of the pit. So that's the first thing. Faith is a conviction of things. Faith is evidence of things not seen. Faith is also the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the means that enables us to perceive the invisible world. So faith is the evidence of things hoped for. That's futureness orientation. The conviction of things not seen. This is perception into the invisible world right now. There's an unseen reality. The invisible world that our physical eyes and our physical senses cannot perceive. but it's real. And of course, the great unseen reality is God Himself. So faith enables us to see the eternal order and to see God. I mean, Hebrews 11:27 says, this is what Moses did. You see this 11:27, where it says, by faith, he that is Moses left Egypt. We're going to talk about that. Some things you got to leave. Some places you got to leave in faith. He left Egypt. Note this, not being afraid of the anger of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. God saw Moses, saw a greater king. He saw God Himself. And so faith then is the means by which we are able to perceive the eternal world and to see the Lord Himself, God Himself, on the throne. You see that? Notice that it says our faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Someone wrote, nothing before, nothing behind, the steps of faith fall or the seeming void and find the rock beneath. Oh yeah. See, touch. I realize this is concrete. Faith, I realize that God is infinitely more solid than this wood. That I can trust. We can trust Him. We can trust God. And some of you this morning are in leadership roles, administrators. You know, it's hard to be an administrator. Oh, it's hard supervising people. And you have people right now that you supervise or lead, and they intimidate you. You're honestly afraid of them. And they are doing things, and you know they ought not be doing it, but it's hurting you and your team because you're intimidated. I'm going to tell you something. When you yield to the fear of people, it's not going to make the situation better. It's going to make the situation worse. Much, much worse. This means that you have to see God. You have to look at, you have to, by faith, look at God. Infinite, omniscient, all-powerful, glorious, all-wise. Sustaining the universe simultaneously, all of the galaxy simultaneously with His word. And you have to look at Him. And looking at Him delivers you from the fear of people whose breath is in their nostrils.
Yes, sir.
And see, this is really difficult for those of us who are compliant by nature. Some of you are compliant by nature. You did everything you were told to do. That's how you were raised. You would never challenge your father. You would never challenge your mother. Understood, I get that. But see, you come out of that context, you come and you start relating to difficult people in that way to the detriment of people around you. You're going to have to man up and woman up and look at God alone. And dig down deep and ask God for courage to tell some people, down that back. No, we're not doing that. And if you keep that up, there are going to be consequences. That's hard to do. It's hard to do. I know, because I personally hate confrontations. I'm going to be vulnerable with you now. Don't you try to take advantage of me now, because I'm being honest with y'all. See. Now, we got some strong personalities in this church. I love all of y'all now. No, I do. Now, we got some educated people in this church, high-powered men and women, right? Money in the bank. I mean, come on now. These middle class and upper middle class people in this congregation have their own ways about things. I get that. I'm trying not to be a benevolent dictator. Although, well, I'm not going to go there. Somebody said he's really nice, you know, but you get to know him and he's something of a dictator. Well, no, we're not talking about that. You know, dictators, leadership is not dictatorship. But I'm saying all this to say to you that you're going to have to look to God for grace and help and strength. And it doesn't mean that life is going to be easy, but it does mean that instead of focusing on your weakness, your perceived inadequacies, your difficult circumstances, our problem people and problem children, or difficult kids, we see that with the physical eye. Faith looks at God. Faith looks at God. This is how they receive commendation. You see that? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, because by it the men of old receive commendation. Men and women of old, the sheroes and heroes that we're going to talk about as we get through the 11th chapter to the letter to the Hebrews. This is how they receive their commendation and their approval from God. The thing that matters more than anything in life is God's approval. God's well done. So what is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For by it, the men and women of old received God's approval. There is a South African antelope called the impala.
Yes, sir.
This afternoon, Google them. These antelopes are beautiful. They are graceful. And they have the ability to jump to the height of 10 feet and cover a distance greater than 30 feet in a single leap. You know what's so sad about these antelopes, though? They can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. They can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. You know why? Because the impala will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will land. They can jump 3 feet in the air. They can go 3 feet, but they will not jump. Keep on a 3-foot wall because they're afraid of the uncertainty, not being able to see where their feet will fall. Is it possible that some of you may be suffering from the impala complex this morning? realize the Lord wants to do more with your life as it is now. But you know what the problem is? Our narrow enclosure of comfort, the 3-foot wall of fear, the uncertainty about where we will land, your inability to see the way forward. I don't know what God is doing. I don't know where he's taking me. I don't know what direction I'm going to go in if I take this step of faith. I can't see where I'm going to land. And what happens then? We settle for the enclosure, the limitations behind the 3-foot wall of unbelief. How about taking a jump? Today, how about it? Taking a jump of faith today out of this 3-foot enclosure of unbelief, paralyzed by bad decisions of the past, assuming that where I am here is where I have to stay, and nothing could be further from the truth. You serve a mighty God who is able to do the impossible. Yes, he is. He's able to do the impossible. Oh, he did it in my life. He did it in my life. Oh, y'all look at me now. People look at me now and don't understand that that was a time when I was out of my mind. Walking around with platform shoes, a maxi coat, and a big hat. Walking around looking like Bozo the Clown. Smoking pot on the back of the bus. Here in the city of Chicago. And I had a mama and a daddy. I didn't grow up poor in a middle class community on the south side of Chicago. So it's not the economics, it's not a green lawn. It has everything to do with keeping Jesus out of your life. Yeah. You know, I'm going to take a jump. I need you to join me, church. Let's jump. Let's get out of this enclosure. Let's see what God is going to do. I don't believe the devil has got the last word on the gun violence in Austin. I don't believe the devil has got the last word on the liberal madness in Oak Park. We don't believe any of that because we know that God is going to win. You're not an Impala. You're much, much more. You're a child of God. You're beautiful. You're graceful. And God wants to do something glorious and wonderful with your life.